Live on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, it's time for Q&A with DJ Phone. Today's program is sponsored by Yavapai Regional Medical Center, High Country Rec Fee Center, Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Northern Arizona Vein Center. Now, here's your host for Q&A, DJ Phone.
And welcome to the Monday edition of Q&A. Got a really interesting show for you today. We're going to start out talking with Doug George from the Noontime Lions Club with updates on their community activities, and they have a lot of those going on. And then near the bottom of the hour, we'll pick up with Scott Smith. He is here to talk about the Prescott Chamber Player Society upcoming concert of the classics. Hey, speaking of classics, this, of course, is Monday. That means Tuesday night classics at the Harkins 14, and they got a good one tomorrow night at 7 o'clock and only $5. It's the Hunt for Red October, starring Sean Connery, and that's based, of course, on the Tom Clancy novel. That is here at the Harkins 14, also at the Sedona 6, only $5 at 7 o'clock tomorrow. Hey, if you were part of the Vuela tour of the French musicians, cuisine, and artists that came to Prescott last year or the year before, you'll remember the headliner, Gaëlle Bussuel. She rocked the Findlay Toyota Center, the Raven, the Elks Theater, with a great band. Well, in the last couple of years, she and her band have opened for the Parisian tours of Ringo Starr and ZZ Top, and I just learned today from Gaëlle this. She tweets, "Crazy thing. At Christmas, I was told the news. I fell in the apples and didn't believe it. A few days later, I realize it's not a joke and that in June, I will meet in the flesh in a private meeting with Steven Tyler to open for Aerosmith's tour coming to Paris. And yes, of course, I'm screaming. I jump everywhere and I don't understand what's happening to me. It's number one on my bucket list. We only have one life, so you may as well dream of the impossible. I'm already scared and so happy after meeting and playing with Johnny Lang, Ringo Starr, Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top. It's the turn of Steven Tyler. All these legends are an inspiration for our music. It represents so much and it boosts all of us. In any case, I can tell you he will hear the new songs in our album, and Joe Perry will love our guitarist Michael's solos. Thank you to this guardian angel of music for this sublime meeting. Until then, I'm going to pass out for good." That's our friend Gaëlle Bussuel. Good luck for her, man. She and her band are just doing so great, and they've been opening for major acts in Paris now for a couple of years. They just knocked people dead here when they came as part of Vuela Tour. That's really, really good news. Well, we've got Doug George in the bullpen ready to step in on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 11:30 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. And we stream live around the world at KQNA.com.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec Fee Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
Have you heard about Yavapai Regional Medical Center's exciting expansion project? There's a state-of-the-art health center under construction on the campus of YRMC West in Prescott. During the health center construction, parking may sometimes be more of a challenge. If you have an appointment or you're visiting someone at YRMC West, we recommend you allow some extra time for parking. And look for one of our volunteer cart drivers. They're ready to shuttle you from your parking space to the hospital entrance and back again. The primary and specialty care clinics you need. A kitchen for healthy cooking demonstrations. Advanced multimedia technology for preventive health learning programs. And lots of parking. The new health center under construction at YRMC West. Inspired by you.
Member membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
Are you financially prepared for retirement and saving in taxes the way you want to be? The Financial Facts and Tax Show can help answer that question. We cover topics like income planning, tax planning, and asset allocation. Listen to KQNA AM 1130, 99.9, and 95.5 FM Saturdays at 12 noon to Financial Facts and Tax with Ron and Barbara to help secure your finances.
Financial Facts and Tax is paid for by American Financial Security and is solely responsible for its content.
Oh, say, can you see?
It's not every day you hear a British person singing the national anthem, but success is about getting the right attention. At A&E Rupographics, we provide printing that catches the eye. Get your business noticed with exciting new print marketing and signage. Quality marketing shows the quality service we know you provide. Stop by one of our three great locations or call 442-9116. Get your business noticed with A&E Rupographics today.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
And we are back live at 2:07. If you listened last week when our friend David Snyder was here, on behalf of his tax and financial services, we briefly touched on the Lions Club. Well, we have Doug George here today. Now, David is with the Sunrise Lions. Doug is with the Noontime Lions. How many Lions Clubs locally are there, Doug?
Thanks, DJ. Example of that, somebody that I know that I hike with said, oh, by the way, I made a donation to your club last year, and it turned out it was a different club. Even he didn't know what club I was in. So that's when I realized that there are a lot of people in town that really don't know that. So we're here today to try to at least talk about who we are and what we do.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of what you do, what are some of the projects and activities you're currently involved in?
All right. I have a little bit more about who we are. Okay.
Sure.
The Prescott Noon Lions Club members have served this community in a variety of ways for 70 years.
Wow.
We were formed in 1949. We are the oldest club in Prescott area and one of the older clubs in the state of Arizona. What that means is we have a long tradition of service to celebrate and uphold. At 113 members, we're also the largest club in Prescott and one of the largest clubs in the state, maybe like number two or number three, if not number one.
Wow.
You get to see the fun we have at some of our meetings. The Prescott Noon Lions Club projects help kids, veterans, sight and hearing impaired, food insecure, and the entire community. We serve with pride is our motto. But let me talk a little bit more about some of our activities, all right? Many people know Prescott Noon Lions through our paper recycling program. You see the trailers around town. And the 4th of July cotton candy booth, the pancake breakfast, and the eye care van. You've seen that probably in some of our parades. However, we are involved in a number of other projects as well. We are involved with coats for kids, badges and bobbers. Say that again, Doug. Badges and bobbers fishing tournament, which is down in PV, the Transit for the Blind, hoodies for local veterans, Christmas toy drive, assisting residents of Yarnell after the Yarnell fire, and most recently leading a countywide vision screening program for elementary school students. We will also be holding on January 25th an Arizona Lions Service Rally Day. Lions clubs across the state will be sponsoring service events. The Prescott Noon Lions and the Prescott Noon Lioness Club will have an ice cream social planned for the residents of Willow Wind Good Samaritan Society home. This is a service project. We'll have ice cream, root beer floats, homemade cookies, and lots of conversation. And boy, I love root beer floats.
Yeah, you're not the only one. Tell us what you did to help the folks in Yarnell after that terrible fire.
Yeah. Well, we are at Yarnell Fire in 2013 killed the 19 Granite Mountain hotshots. Those brave firefighters died doing what firefighters do everywhere, protecting us from the devastating consequences of fire. That 8,400-acre fire was the deadliest wildland blaze for firefighters in 80 years. The impact on Prescott has been profound. But what people don't realize is that while there were no fatalities among the residents of Yarnell itself was also devastated by the fire, with over 150 vehicles and 127 buildings, mostly homes, being destroyed. Now, that may not sound a lot, but you have to remember Yarnell is a population of less than 700. That's a big part of that community. Residents in the hardest hit area had only 30 minutes to evacuate. All the residents were evacuated for a week to several area shelters, and when they returned, they had to start rebuilding. The Prescott New Lions took a leading role to come to the aid of the residents with assistance of other Lions clubs and other service organizations. To be sure, there were a lot of organizations that came out to help Yarnell, but they needed a leader. The Prescott New Lions ran a food drive and collected 30,000 pounds of food and $4,500 in 4 hours. We procured funds from several Lions and non-Lions organizations, including Lions Club International Foundation, of over $56,000 that was used as part of the recovery effort. Now, this is just a partial recounting, as I don't know all of the resources that were raised for that effort. The first thing that we did after the residents were allowed to return was to get their only food market back up and running because a power surge had wiped out all the refrigeration units. We had that market up and running in less than 2 weeks.
Wow.
And when the national disaster relief organizations all left town, the Prescott New Lions continued to assist the Yarnell for months, primarily with food. So we were there long after everybody else was gone. Also, on August 1st, the Prescott Dune Lions invited the Yarnell kids and a few adults for a fun day in Prescott. This was a worry-free day with a free movie, which was Despicable Me. I don't know which one.
Sure.
Lunch and a blanket-wrapped stuffed animal for all the kids. This event was planned by and run by Prescott Noon Lions, assisted by the Prescott Noon Lioness Club, local businesses, local police departments, and Yarnell and Prescott schools. I hesitate to begin naming people who were involved in this project for fear I will leave somebody out. I just don't like doing that. But one Prescott Noon Lion who was primarily responsible for organizing this entire program and getting it off the ground was Paul Chastain. He deserves all the accolades for a job well done.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm glad you mentioned that when we think of the Yarnell fire, obviously the first thing that comes to mind is those 19 courageous firefighters who died. But people forget or weren't even aware of the tremendous damage done in Yarnell, including to the infrastructure, because I remember going to the county supervisors meeting and seeing, hearing about damage to their water system, water distribution, things like this. That was a horrible, horrible fire, and not just because of a loss of life. That town took a big hit because of that, and we're to thank the Lions Club for that assistance. Now, you mentioned in the past, and David Snyder mentioned this the other day, a countywide program to vision screen students. That's pretty ambitious. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's by identifying students with vision impairments for all of Yavapai County. This is a wonderful opportunity. You know, they say that literacy, what your literacy level is after third grade is a big red flag that determines much of your career in school and maybe after career. So if you're not reading well after third grade, that's a real, real problem. Mm-hmm. And so they're all trying to improve the literacy in the earlier grades.
Well, not only that, but also if you happen to be seated in the back of the class and you can't see what's going on
on
the board, that can really set you back.
Anyway, what we propose to do is to develop and implement a pilot vision screening program for grades K through 4 for elementary schools in the county using an advanced vision screener, also termed the photo screener. This device is a handheld autorefractor, and it looks like a large camera. In a matter of seconds, you can zoom on a student who's about 3 feet away from you, mm-hmm. and this device can get a reading on the child's eyes and can determine if the child is seeing normally or whether the child needs to see an eye doctor for an exam. These devices cost $7,000 apiece. With the grant, we were able to purchase 3 of these units and some additional accessories. Vision screening using this device has proven to be much more accurate than using eye charts for children and is much quicker.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did is we took a survey of the elementary schools in Yavapai County and estimated approximately 7,000 students in grades K through 4 were not being photo screened by any other entity, which means there was some photo screening going on in some spots in the county.
Yeah.
Okay. These students in 33 district schools, charter schools, and private elementary schools were our target population. For the pilot program, we weren't going to try to do all of them, so we said we would do a fraction of these schools, and we would incorporate diversity in location, in size, and school type. So we made sure we had big schools, middle-sized schools, small schools, charter schools, district schools, private schools, and scattered around the county.
That's well, not only that, but you're also reaching kids whose parents may not be able to afford going to an eye doctor and not might not even be aware they have eye problems.
You know, that's actually a 1-2 punch. The first thing is both of those pieces of the puzzle. Let me continue with this, all right?
Yeah.
All right. So we received the grant in mid-April, and we wanted to have the program up and running by fall, so that's not a whole lot of time. So here we were really happy. Wow, we got this grant. Then we were looking at a blank sheet of paper and went, oh, my goodness. Be careful. Needless to say, it was a mad scramble to put a program together and get all the pieces ready by the fall. We talked to everybody that would meet with us or chat with us to find out as much as we could. We did meet with Superintendent Tim Carter of Yavapai County Education Service Agency, who helped us to shape the size of the program and pick the specific schools. He was a real help in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, we picked 11 out of 33 schools, K through 4, that were originally proposed, because we went from K through 4 to pre-K through 4. So we added the pre-K grade because we found in our in things that we were looking up that the earlier you catch a problem, the better. So some of the schools nowadays have pre-K as part of their school, some of the elementary schools. So any place that there was an elementary school that had pre-K, then we included them as well. We decided the format would be a pass-refer format, which means that the device has other capabilities, but we use the device strictly as a screening tool. If the child passed, they were fine. If the child was referred, they were referred to a doctor. We didn't say anything about how or why. It just go see a doctor.
Right.
That was the simplest, cleanest way to do the program.
And let the doctor take it over.
Let the doctor over, exactly.
Sure.
We met with 11 schools. We made presentations to 9 Lions and Lioness clubs in the county, recruited and trained 23 vision screeners. So we had 23 people the first year to do these 11 schools. We ran the 11 events starting in October. We screened 1,258 students, grades pre-K through 4, who had parent or guardian signed consent forms. And that was a little bit of a barrier because we started after the school year. We didn't get as many forms back as we had hoped, so our participation rate was down. It was only 63.8%. Mm-hmm. So theoretically, we could have screened another third. You know, we referred 104 students to see a doctor, and we identified 5 students who were nonconforming in color testing. That was in 2018. 2019, look at the difference. We expanded the program to 28 schools. We had approximately 37 active Lions vision screeners. We screened 5,869 students, and our participation rate was 88.2%. So you see, we did a lot better this year. We referred 580 students to a doctor. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
And we actually identified 41 students nonconforming, meaning they had some kind of a color deficiency, which they may not know about.
Exactly.
And it's really important for the parents and the teachers to know about the color deficiency because then they can make compensations for it in their teaching methods.
Mm-hmm.
Members participated. Whereas in 2000, we ran a program from the committee. 2019, the program was decentralized with individual Lion Club teams setting up and running the events, and we just gave them assistance as they needed.
Isn't that amazing?
We are very satisfied with our efforts, and all the schools that we dealt with were happy to have us and want us to come back next year. So I think that's the greatest, you know, testimonial of all.
That's quite an endorsement. We are talking to Doug George from the Prescott Noon Lions. We're going to come back for a few more minutes in just a moment after this break on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 11:30 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. And we stream live around the world at kqna.com. Don't go away.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec Bee Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
John Dombrowski here with your culture and economy tip number 7. Tracking your net worth is simply the difference between your assets and debt. It's important to keep an eye on it as you can keep track of the progress you're making towards your financial goals, or warn you if you're in need of some adjustments. I've been assisting my clients reach their financial goals for over 25 years. It can help you as well. Call 480-991-1055 to schedule a complimentary financial consultation. Visit us at GrandCanyonPlanning.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. Again, that number is 480-991-1055. I'm John Dombrowski reminding you, don't run out of money before you run out of time.
Securities and advisory services offered through Client One Securities, LLC, a member of FINRA and SIPC, and an investment advisor. Grand Canyon Planning Associates, LLC, and Client One Securities, LLC are not affiliated.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
And we are back live at 222 with Doug George from the Prescott Noon Lions. Doug, our listeners often email me and ask, you know, I can't really take part in what your guest is involved in, but I would like to help them. How can they help the Prescott Noon Lions?
That's a good question, projects, and there is a difference. A direct service project is just that. You're doing something directly serving the public. It's a fundraising project. You're raising funds to contribute to another organization that will be helping the public. Mm-hmm. Both of those are important, but you have to have that balance. For 2019, our club expended through service projects, goods, and direct contributions to local nonprofit agencies approximately $95,000 into the community. An additional $51,000 for worldwide service through Lions Club International Foundation. We also expended 13,229 volunteer hours serving 3,319 people, and that last number is an approximate number because some people you don't know. So the contributions to local nonprofit agencies, I'll name a few because that changes every year.
Sure.
Boys and Girls Clubs, Granite Creek Hunger, People Who Care, Prescott Area Shelter Services, Sunshine Stitchers, United Animal Friends, Yavapai Regional Medical Center. Now, it's important to understand that this is going to change because applications have to be filled out and submitted to Prescott Noon Lions in order for those agencies to get those funds. So if we don't get the application, they're not going to get any funds.
Sure.
In order for nonprofits to get that grant, they have to fill out the application, which you can find on our website, and submit it by October 1st. Then we review the applications and expend what monies we have for that year. The more donations we receive, the more assistance we can apply to other agencies. There's several ways that our listeners can help. First, although our paper recycling program has been a very good fundraiser for many years, the amount we earn today is decreasing each year. In this digital age, we've experienced a decline in paper donations in recent years, and it's a big decline, let me tell you. We ask that our listeners consider redirecting their paper recycling efforts to Prescott Noon Lions Club yellow trailers and bins around town. And you'll find them in places like Costco and Fry's, Safeway, Park Plaza, Bank of America, Library, and Adult Center, and I've probably left a few out. And please, no cardboard. We cannot use cardboard.
No cardboard, okay.
No
That's
cardboard and, or shredded paper.
Mm-hmm.
Most people's shredded paper, they shred it into these little pieces.
Yeah.
The recycler can't use it.
How about that? Wow.
So, second, we can't raise all the funds for our programs through sweat equity alone. I can't tell you how many hours it takes to do the paper recycling program, but it's a 52-week a year commitment. You're doing it all the time.
And you can always use volunteers, can't you?
And like I said, because we can't depend on that as the only stream of income, we need to find new streams of income. So we're requesting that listeners please consider making an Arizona tax credit donation to the Prescott Noon Lions Foundation Club. Say that again. Arizona tax credit donation to the Prescott Noon Lions Club Foundation to help us keep all these great programs running. You can contribute $400 as a single person or $800 as a couple, and I'm sure David went over all this last week, to Prescott Noon Lions Club Foundation and get a tax credit for a full amount of your donation on your Arizona tax credit. Also, if you have to take a required minimum distribution from your IRA, please consider making a qualified charitable distribution to lower your federal taxes. You should consult a tax advisor. The Prescott Noon Lions Club Foundation is a 501c3 nonprofit organization and a qualified charitable organization for the Arizona Tax Credit, QCO code 20502. Details can be found on our website, prescottnoonlions.org, on how to donate, and you can also find us on Facebook.
Very good. That is Doug George from the Prescott Noon Lions. Thanks for that presentation, Doug. I know our listeners will try and help any way they can. And they can also help if they're making out their will with a bequest, can't they?
Absolutely.
Those can come in very handy for a nonprofit. Thanks again for joining us today on Q&A. It's time to take a break for local and state news and weather. Then we'll talk to Scott Smith about the Prescott Chamber Players Society. That's coming up next on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. We stream live around the world at KQNA.com.
Hi, James Roush here at Bualka Bulk Mortgage. Are you interested in buying a home and just have a million questions running through your head? The James Roush team at Bualka Bulk Mortgage is here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by appointment. Even if you need to meet on Saturday morning because of your work schedule, we'll be there. Call the James Roush team at 445-8730, Bualka Bulk Mortgage.
License number 00128295, LNS number 16209, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec Bee Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
Your valuables protected in a fireproof safe and money in your pocket. That's an unbeatable combination during the safe sale going on now at Norm's Lock and Safe. The lowest prices of the season on Liberty Safes now at Norm's. Liberty Safe starting as low as $5.99. It's a safe bet you'll save money during the safe sale going on now at Norm's Lock and Safe on Florentine Road in Prescott Valley. Hurry in for best selection. All safes on sale now at Norm's Lock and Safe.
Made to Order is more than simply the best cleaning company because we offer more than all the rest. Sometimes you need more than just a cleaning service. So Made to Order now provides house and dog sitting, carpet and window cleaning, and property maintenance. Let us know how we can help you. We're your local, trusted, bonded, and insured cleaning service. For your free estimate, call us today at 928-899-8518 or go to PrescottMadeToOrder.com.
The Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Thanks for making the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, your choice for your Monday the 6th. I'm DJ Phone with a check of local and state news and weather together, brought to you by Wallach and Volk. The Yavapai County Health Department says this year's flu season is hitting the youngest and oldest generations particularly hard. Barbara Villa shares agency advice for those caring for the sick.
The Health Department's Terry Farnetti points out children in particular aren't thinking about infecting their caregivers when they cough or sneeze.
When holding a sick child, place their chin on your shoulder so they do not cough in your face. Wash your hands often and right away. If soap and water are not available, use an alcohol-based hand rub.
And Barnetti says,
make sure to wash your hands after touching the sick person. Wash after handling their tissues or laundry as well.
It's not too late to get your flu shot. Barbara Villa, Arizona News Radio.
Sunny skies with highs around 53 today, 57 tomorrow in Prescott, Prescott Valley, Chino Valley, and Dewey Humboldt. Chilling after bedtime to about 26 with clear skies. Warming Wednesday only to near 50, Thursday and Friday 40, with a 30% chance for rain and light snow Thursday afternoon and late night. In Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, sunny highs near 59 today, 62 tomorrow. Then the big chill arrives, cooling Wednesday's high to 57, Thursday and Friday only 47, with the same chance for Thursday rain and light snow. This news and weather, a service of Wallach and Volk. I'm DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 and 95.5 FM, KQNA. Like us on Facebook and listen live worldwide at KQNA.com and stay tuned. Q&A will continue in just a moment on KQNA.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. to the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec B Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
Are you an energetic, outgoing professional that has good people skills? Then Truly Nolan Pest Control, a leading pest control company in Arizona since 1955, has a well-paying career for you. We are looking for just the right candidates in our Prescott Valley office for both sales and service. You must have a valid driver's license, pass a drug test, and background check. For more information on positions available, please visit our website at trulynolan.com. Click on Careers, then Positions, and City. An equal opportunity employer, trulynolan.com.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
We are back live at 2:32. We have as our guest right now Scott Smith. He is the president of the Prescott Chamber Player Society. Scott, for someone who is not real familiar with the classics and chamber players, what are some of the differences between what we regard as classical music and chamber music?
That's a really good question. Chamber music is a form of classical music, mm-hmm. but it's primarily for a smaller group of instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, that would be a group that would perform in a smaller context, kind of like in a king's palace, like in a smaller room, or perhaps in someone's home mm-hmm. or in a mansion of a patron.
Oh, okay,
or
sure.
Yeah.
And I've gone to brunches several times where there was a chamber orchestra playing, and three, four, five people sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it can be as few as two people. It can be as many as 20 people.
Yeah.
Typically, for us, we range anywhere from 2 to 10.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Now, which instruments do you play yourself?
I play the clarinet. Mm-hmm. I'm a clarinetist.
I have, and I always ask musicians this question. Take me back to the first time you picked up that instrument.
Oh, God.
And why'd you choose that one?
I think I chose it because it was handed to me when I started playing in the band in the fifth grade.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? You know, I interviewed Chip Davis, who created Mannheim Steamroller.
Yes.
And I think he played the bassoon when he was in high school.
Oh, okay.
And I said, what on earth would move you to start playing the bassoon? Did uh-huh. you like bassoon uh-huh. music? He said, no, that's what they handed me. I said, if you want to be part of this, that's what you're going to play. Oh, well, okay. And then, of course, he became great at it. So when it comes to chamber music, of course, you've got a wonderful event coming up. It's
yes,
your 23rd annual winter concert of the Prescott Chamber Players. It's coming up very soon.
Yes.
Tell us when and where.
It's actually coming up this Sunday. Whoa. At Trinity Presbyterian Church, and that's at 630 Park Avenue in Prescott, just a little ways from downtown.
Isn't that right behind the Safeway store up there?
Yes, it is. Yes, you go on past the
square. Oh, the acoustics in there. I have
the acoustics are amazing.
Yeah, now
it's completely amazing.
Yeah. You know, you've got a great program here. Why don't you go down the program, tell us some of the offerings we will hear and some of the people involved in making that music.
Well, we have a variety. We have about 10 or 12 different compositions.
Mm-hmm.
We have a clarinet sonata by Paul Hindemith, who is a German composer. We have a duet for clarinet and piano by Robert Schumann called his Fantasy Pieces. We have pieces for flute and for bassoon, piano. Let me get out the exact thing here. We even have a little bit of jazz thrown in.
Nice.
We don't do – our focus is primarily – classical chamber music from the 18th through the 20th centuries.
Sure.
But we do branch out sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
We do a little blues even. We do a little klezmer on occasion.
Okay, explain that term for me.
Well, klezmer is an ethnic type of Jewish music.
Really?
Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That type of music with violin and clarinet. But primarily it's classical music. We're doing a piece here called In Ireland. That's with our flutist. and pianist. Here's another piece, Snappy Top and Bottom.
That's kind of that title jazzy. Alone would
yeah,
get my ears
that's
perked
a great,
up.
Great little piece.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing a piece from the 1700s by George Philip Telemann. That's another area we kind of branch out. Sometimes we even have members of the group that play on period or original instruments, which mm-hmm. is kind of a treat
Ooh,
for our
yeah.
audience. So.
Yeah. And when it comes to choosing these pieces, are there any, how many of these composers that you're playing in this particular concert coming up, what percentage would you think are Americans, Europeans? Is there anything contemporary when it comes to chamber music?
That's another good question, DJ. I think a lot of chamber music from the 20th century might be considered more contemporary. Someone like a Hindemith or a Stravinsky,
mm-hmm.
Schoenberg, you know, people like that. There are a lot of really good American composers that have written some very fine chamber music as well. And they tend to have some more jazz or elements like that in it.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to some of these classical pieces going back to the 1800s and yeah. maybe with European roots, how would it feel, and explain if you've already been in these shoes, how would it feel to play that music in the very town, in the very cathedral or church where the composer played it 200 years ago?
Oh, gosh, that is a thrill. My wife and I actually went to Venice a couple years ago, and we got to be in the church where Vivaldi did the Four Seasons, and it was amazing. Kind of gave me goosebumps.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now, are all of these pieces strictly instrumental?
They are strictly instrumental. On occasion, we do have a vocalist, but that generally it's instrumental.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. Have you ever tried writing music yourself?
I have, but I'm not very good at it.
Well, but close enough, let me ask you this. How do you come up with a title for an instrumental piece? Because there's no lyrics.
I guess that's really up to the composer. You're trying to give a hint of what the music may be about. For instance, that piece I mentioned earlier, Snappy Top and Bottom.
Kind of self-descriptive.
Self-descriptive. Yeah. It gives you a little bit of a clue.
Mm-hmm. So take me back to your education in music, okay. your first interests. First of all, and I always ask musicians this, when you were a little kid, what kind of music did you hear in the home growing up?
My mother was a great lover of classical music.
Really?
And she bought me an album for clarinet and orchestra early on. It was by an English clarinetist named Jack Brymer. And so I just wore that record out mm-hmm. on my turntable.
Isn't
and so I came to love classical clarinet music.
Yeah.
And a lot of people in our organization kind of had similar experiences.
Yeah.
They grew up listening to it.
Sure.
And kind of fell in love with it. And so that's primarily the focus of our group. We do it because we love it.
Sure.
We enjoy to perform. It's a friendship thing. We have a lot of great time together rehearsing and learning about the music together.
You know, what really piques my interest about a lot of contemporary and pop and rock musicians, as they get older, it seems an awful lot of them really finally start appreciating the timeless classics that have sustained musicians for 200 mm-hmm. or 300 years. And it all comes back to one thing. Why it's so timeless? Why do you think this music is so timeless?
I think it's timeless because it's written at a very high level.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on within the piece. Oftentimes people will hear a piece of music and it has just a beautiful melody, but the construction within the music is amazing too.
Sure.
It's just genius. It's like a painter. It's like a Picasso or something painting something, and as you analyze the music and rehearse it, you come to appreciate the structure of it even more.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no one easy answer.
Yeah.
It has to do with the construction of the internal construction of the music, the melody, how the parts play off against one another.
See, that's one of the things that always interests me when someone is writing original music. The lyrics I can understand, because an awful lot of times you're writing from personal experience. When it comes to creating original melodies and which instruments to provide those, that is so beyond my pay grade. Mm-hmm. I don't know how people come up with that.
Yeah, the instrumentation, you touched on that. The instrumentation is key, too. If you're writing something in chamber music, mm-hmm. you have to know when the different voices trade off. And if you have a true duet, like if you're an instrumentalist and you're playing with a piano, there's kind of a give and take.
Mm-hmm.
The melodies interweave, and you hand off to the other soloist, and that person picks up the line, and then they come back together. It's just genius in the construction. And that's what we enjoy, too. We research a lot of music, and when we find a hidden piece of music, it's like finding a nugget of gold.
Yeah.
It's just like buried treasure.
In chamber music, is there room for improvisation?
Pretty much, I would say no. Now, there are elements within chamber music. You'll have a section which could be a cadenza, which is a little freer, and you may have a chord structure, and you can improvise within that. But mm-hmm. it's not improvisation, kind of like a jazz player
right.
or something. Yeah.
You know, I mentioned or I asked you before about how you first came become acquainted with classical music, hearing your mother's love for it. It's amazing how many people in, you know, baby boomers, their very first exposure to the classics, and I'm talking traditional classic music, believe it or not, was the Looney Tunes cartoon of Bugs Bunny directing the Hollywood Bowl Orchestra.
Yep. Yep.
Now, here's one that'll surprise a lot of people. When I went to the Hollywood Bowl for the first time 7 years ago, they have a wonderful museum at the Hollywood Bowl. And they run that cartoon on a continuous loop of Bugs directing the orchestra. Of course, Fantasia, the Disney's animated classics.
Exactly.
That gave a lot of kids their first exposure to it.
And I think the general public as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things within the music we do
mm-hmm.
which people can have memories of. They mm-hmm. may have heard a fragment of it earlier and not know where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, our instrumentation will have flutes and oboes and clarinets and pianos. So
tell us about some of the people who will be performing at this special concert, which, by the way, comes up at 2 o'clock, and that's this Sunday, right?
Yes, sir.
At Trinity Presbyterian Church.
2 p.m., Trinity Presbyterian Church.
Mm-hmm.
The membership of our group, we have performing members. And a lot of really fine musicians within that group. We have about 25 performing members currently.
Mm-hmm.
Have about 12 what we call associate members, and they're people that are in the group and love to come to our monthly meetings but don't perform publicly.
Mm-hmm.
But we kind of run the gamut of age and experience. We have players as young as 25, but we have a player who's almost 90.
Really?
And a phenomenal pianist.
Isn't that something?
And
it just never goes away, does it?
It never does. And the love of it never goes away
sure.
either. But I guess that's what I'd like to emphasize. We're a diverse group from different backgrounds, but we're united in our love of music.
So. Mm-hmm. So who are some of these people we'll be hearing Sunday?
Well, myself, I'll be performing, but we'll have a fine flutist named Beverly Chesterby will be performing. Jackie Stewart is one of our fine pianists. Lisa Rudy is playing piccolo. We have a very fine bassoonist, Ginger Scudder, who will be playing. Elizabeth Johnson is a fine clarinetist, and she'll be doing the Schumann fantasy pieces. So various people. We have Suzanne Fisher. Suzanne was the founder of the group back in 1997.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So, that pretty much covers it. I apologize if I left anyone out. So.
Now you, of course, will be playing clarinet, and that is in the Mendelssohn piece, correct?
Actually, I'm doing a piece by Felix Drosica, who's a German composer,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm doing a thing by Paul Hindemith.
There we go.
And then I'm playing in a woodwind quintet, actually five players.
So how often do you rehearse?
Oh, gosh,
or practice?
As much as we can. That's one of the beauties of living in Prescott and being here. We just love the music, and we rehearse as often as we can. Well, pretty much whatever is required to have a good performance.
Let me ask you this. 3 years ago, I checked off one of the bucket list items.
Yeah.
And I went to a concert in Phoenix by the great Johnny Mathis. And Johnny had a full orchestra with him that he's been carrying with him on tour for 20-something years. They've been playing his songs for 20 years, yet they were all using sheet music. Do you need sheet music for something you've played probably thousands of times?
It provides a little more security in the midst of a performance. Quite often on the sheet music, too, you're making notations to yourself to kind of remind yourself what you'd like to do. Now, if you have a concert pianist who's done it a million times, they often will do it from memory.
See, that's why I was wondering why they don't do that. But that's, again, that's a layman's.
But in chamber music, too, you have all these different things going on as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the parts, you know, cooperating with one another, so we need to know where one another are.
Yeah. Well, if there's anything I've learned from musicians, they are really fussy about their instrument. Tell us about your clarinet.
Oh, gosh. I have a 1976 era Buffet clarinet. I have many clarinets, but the two I use for performing are a B-flat clarinet and then an A clarinet. That's the key. It's the standard set that you would use in an orchestra. And they're really good performance instruments. They're very nice, but over the years, my one horn that I use the most is needs a little more work to keep it maintained and so forth.
But, when you first started playing for real on the clarinet at a young age, who were some of your heroes? Who would you have liked to have been?
Oh, gosh. My dream would be Benny Goodman, you know. Benny Goodman, just any of the fine orchestral clarinetists. I mentioned Jack Brimer. Harold Wright's another great clarinetist.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, I was in Boston and got to see Harold Wright empty the spit out of his horn, and I thought that was a wonderful moment.
What kind of maintenance do you have to do for an instrument to keep it at the top of its game?
Well, there's a lot of moving parts.
Okay.
You have springs and pads and reeds and different equipment you have to keep up. We keep all the little fine things adjusted, the little pivots and screws. And your reed players are always trying to find their perfect reed.
Mm-hmm. I remember talking to Dennis Hauser, one of our classical singers here, about not only how important it is to maintain his voice, but tell us how important that razor-sharp ear is for a musician.
It's very important. You have to know when your pitch is high, when your pitch is low. You have to know if the person you're playing with, it tends to be high or low, and you try to match that so it's not always a matter of being exactly what the, you know, the machine says you should be.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of doing a good performance and matching with the other performers you're playing with.
You know, I mentioned before going to the Hollywood Bowl 7 years ago. I went to see Herb Alpert. Remember the Tijuana Brass?
Oh, absolutely.
He'll be coming to Yavapai College in February.
Yeah.
And what struck me about his history is that after he sold A&M Records, he donated $30 million to, I believe it was UCLA, to create a world music curriculum. How important is it to keep this legendary music going for younger musicians?
Oh, I think it's essential. It's one of the great art forms in Western civilization.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole bunch of music out there that for us in this age seems undiscovered. You know, you may find something by a really obscure composer, which is just a real gem. And just would make an amazing performance. So it's essential to keep it going. Mm-hmm. And it's good for kids coming up in the schools and stuff as well to learn that. And it's 'cause there's a lot of history, and it's just a very deep area of music. And it's never-ending what you can learn about it.
I interview a lot of actors from the Prescott Center for the Arts, and I always ask them if they can watch a movie and not sit there as a judge with a background in acting? Can you simply enjoy a concert as a fan and not go, they shouldn't have done that, or I would have done it this way? Are you more discerning than the average fan?
Oh, gosh, I would hope I am. I'm not sure I always am, but yes, I can sit back and enjoy. Mm-hmm. Because you know what goes into it.
Yeah.
And it just takes anybody that gets up and performs, you know, they usually put a lot of effort into it, a lot of preparation. So, but short answer, yes, it is possible to sit back and enjoy.
You know, I was really surprised last year to find out how many great piano players, when they're on tour, they don't bring their own piano shipped with them. They bring the piano that's in the venue. Can you imagine going on tour and having to play whatever clarinet is handed to you?
No. It would be very difficult.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I was so surprised to hear that.
Well, I think for this people playing the smaller instruments, it's kind of personalized. You'll have a particular mouthpiece. You'll have a particular reed you like,
sure,
a particular horn. And it would be really difficult to pick up someone else's, you know, equipment and do it like you want to do it.
When I was in St. Louis, there was a news story about a St. Louis Symphony violinist whose Stradivarius was stolen, and they listed the approximate value as $4 million.
Yeah.
That would surprise some people. $4 million. What makes it that valuable?
Oh, gosh. I think in that area, the string instruments, you know, it would be the sound, the wood, you know, the particular resonance of the wood and so forth. So.
Ooh. Amazing. Well, once again, the concert is this Sunday at 2 p.m. at Trinity Presbyterian Church in Prescott. Is there a web page or a phone number people can learn more?
Yes, there is. Our web address is prescottchamberplayers.com. And you go there and we have all sorts of information about our group. We have information about past concerts, upcoming concerts, and also have contact information for anyone who might be interested in joining.
And we thank Scott Smith, the president of the Prescott Chamber Player Society. Great talking to you, Scott. Thanks for coming in on Q&A. Stay tuned. Got some final thoughts and tomorrow's Q&A guests coming up in just a moment on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. We stream live at kqna.com.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec B Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
Hey, check out this report of our Office 365 email and the threats sitting in users' inboxes.
Wow, how did you get this?
There's a free tool called Barracuda Email Threat Scanner that can quickly and safely scan our Office 365 email for hidden threats like spear phishing and domain fraud.
Really?
Yeah, Barracuda Email Threat Scanner identifies hidden threats and employees most at risk for a cyber attack, all summarized in a complete report.
This is great.
Get your free email threat scan now at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
Hi, Saver. Looking for ways to save on your Medicare Part D copays? We love that at Walgreens. We're a preferred network pharmacy with many plans nationwide, which could mean lower copays for you. Bring your prescriptions to a Walgreens pharmacy and start saving today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Walgreens participates as a preferred network pharmacy with United Healthcare, Cigna, and Express Scripts Medicare. Walgreens participates with other plans. See walgreens.com/Medicare for details.
The Baleri Professional Building, home to Prescott's premier high-tech business suites, located right in the heart of downtown Prescott. Baleri Business Suites feature high-speed internet, covered parking, and a climate-controlled environment designed for business, medical, legal, and most any general office purpose. New one-year leases available with one additional month free. Call 445-7191 or go to BaleriProfessionalBuilding.com for more information. The Baleri Professional Building, Prescott's business address.
listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Hey, the Prescott Chamber Player Society, they're obviously the real deal, but if you're looking for some really good pop and rock tribute concerts coming to the Elks Theater, we got those for you too. This Friday, it's going to be Saturday Night Fever Tribute, the international tribute to the Bee Gees. On Friday the 17th, it'll be Cher and Bill Medley. That tribute concert will be at the Elks Friday, January 31st, a tribute to the great band Journey. And it's hard to believe that Steve Perry, I believe, just turned 70. How in the world are those guys getting that old and we stay young? Hey, stay tuned now for Ben Shapiro at 3 o'clock, followed by Talk of the Town. Chino Valley, join me back here tomorrow with the author of the perfect book for your New Year's resolution. It's called Younger Next Year, Second Edition, when I will talk with co-author Dr. Alan Hamilton. That's Q&A tomorrow at 2, when I'll see you on the radio.
You've been listening to Q&A on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by High Country Rec V-Center, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Prescott College. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Q&A with DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.